Gil, the podcast world is growing bigger every single day, and our friends at Himalaya want to help you navigate it. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single episode you love and some future favorites. If you're a podcaster, you're a fan, Himalaya has your back. They have our back. So discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcaster some love with Himalaya's tip jar. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and they're adding cool new features every single day. Go to the App Store, download Himalaya, and don't forget to follow the No Chill Podcast if you're not already.
Only when the you No Chill there. Podcast. You ain't got to worry about the rest of them.
Get there first.
On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, for those of you looking to see Agent Zero in action again, we're one step closer. The one and only Ice Cube comes through to talk about his attachment to basketball. We hear from a hip-hop icon firsthand why rappers always want to be ballers, and vice versa. He also shares his perspective as a lifetime fan of the sport on just how to put on a show and the big personalities that have made the game great. All this talk gets Gilbert thinking and things get real. Now we know he's been in the gym getting his shots up and getting in shape. So when Cube talks Big Three and the vision of his league, Gil has a few things in mind for an Agent Zero Big Three takeover. The game may never be the same. So get ready for a news-breaking episode of the No Chill Podcast. As always, you can get every episode a day early, exclusively on the Himalaya app, or also anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the No Chill channel on YouTube.
So first thing we're going to get right into, you've been in this game, the hip-hop game, let's say 30-plus years?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been, you know, I did it for fun at first, but when I was about 13, 14, I started to really get into hip-hop, and so, you know, it's been a cool ride, because I never thought I was going to get famous, you know, doing music. I thought, you know, we just do it for fun. When I started, wasn't too many people in our hood, even in the hip-hop, you know, sports and gang-banging. So it was something new and different, even than everybody in my hood was doing. So it was something I was attracted to. And then, you know, I realized that, you know, my friend down the street is cousins with Dr. Dre. And so it was a person that I knew really doing records. So I'm like, wow, you know, this person is actually, you know, making music for sale. And, you know, that just interests me a lot. I just wanted to be around it like forever, so much, like all day. I used to just think about like hanging and going to the studio and doing all those things. And, you know, I got serious about it and ended up getting a break. You know, we used to do songs for the Rhodium Swap Meet down here. And so here come Easy. He got money and he want to go and do a real record, but he can't convince his group to do the records he wanted to produce. You know, they was just rapping about, you know, the DJ and the mic and the this and the that. He wanted to rap about the streets. He wanted songs about the streets. So I ended up writing a song called Boys in the Hood. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history. You know what I'm saying?
Is it true that you went to Taft?
Yeah, I went to Taft. Yeah, I went to Taft. So, and I went to Hughes before Taft and Parkman before that.
So I'm from the Valley.
Yeah.
So the Valley, you was our rapper. You was the Valley rapper. So because you went to Taft, everybody in the Valley, it was just Ice Cube. We didn't care about nobody else. That's like, what's so funny? I didn't know nothing about Jay-Z until I got to college.
Yeah.
So it was just, we just know you can't play nothing but Cube. He's the Valley rapper.
That's funny.
It was the funniest shit. That's funny. He was like, LA got all the other rappers. Like, Cube's ours. He went to Taft. Yeah, that was just like he went to tab. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that's our rapper then. Fuck with everybody else. Like, give me the Kings jacket. Give me the LA jacket. That's us. We Raiders.
Hey man, you know, it was some great times up at Tab. I used to I played football for a minute and then ended up quitting because I just wanted to do music all the time. So I never knew that, though. You know what I mean? I never knew
that. When I was high school, you was coined the Valley. You was from the Valley. That we had some, like, you know, New York, everyone got they rappers. It's like, we didn't have, the Valley didn't have no rappers. It's like, nah, Q's ours.
I never considered myself from the Valley.
I know, but
people don't think of you as from
the Valley. Yeah, I can see that. Like, I can see why.
But that was the thing. It's like, Q went to tap. Like, yeah. Yes, we got one, yo. We got one.
That's funny.
And you were one of the first Valley Hoopers, really.
Yeah. That's why I said it was like one of those things. It was like, yo, we with ice.
Anything too, I think you talk to a lot of guys in the hip-hop game and a lot of guys, you know, that are basketball players, and there's the parallel where in your neighborhood, everyone plays basketball. As a kid, you gravitate towards a basketball court, and you get to a certain age, like you said, you just focus on music, and you were thinking about being in the studio. When you're a young player, you're focused on, I just want to be on the court again. I just want to be out and compete. And even when you're in school, you're thinking of when I can get out of class or not go to class.
You know, everybody play for fun. Then you start getting to these levels and you realize, you know, football's for me. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, some amazing athletes in L.A. And, you know, I would admire some of the basketball players just because, you know, they was taking it to the next level, trying to get in college, trying to get to the pros. So, you know, to me, it was always a fascinating life. You know, I balled, of course, all growing up, even, you know, played rec centers, this, that, and the other. I tried out for Taft. You know, I actually went one-on-one with the point guard for the coach. And I think they was hating on me because I had played football and I was late. But it was good to have basketball in my life, you know, just playing it, you know, really, you know, push those competitive, you know, juices. Mm-hmm. You know, in the neighborhood, there's a lot of frustration. You gotta get it out through sports. So it's cool to, you know, I think about our battles in the backyard and the battles playing basketball, you know, more than, you know, any other part of my childhood is really, you know, thinking about those times when we went at it, you know, just for pride. And, you know, we used to talk smack and, you know how it go.
I think I remember a photo just came to mind. It was you and Shaq. I think it was a cover of Sports Illustrated, right?
Yeah.
You and Shaq, and it was the idea that rappers always want to be ballers, want to be rappers. Right. You probably know this.
No, I mean, that was just part of it. And, you know, growing up, it's like, you see the rappers, and you want because you got to remember, in sports, you don't see all the women and all that stuff. You don't see the cars and you see that on the rapper. So it's like, yo, I need to, and you go in a booth and you're trying to spin and like, oh, that sounds stupid as shit. Like, you know, so it was just one of those things where it just, the two just made sense. Like, I remember like going home, like, especially when Jordans dropped in the 90s, all bangers was trying to steal them shits from you. You know, so, you know, the only thing that saved me was the basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you dribbling down, it hits you, what up, cut? Like, nah, I'm hooping. Are you good then? Like, all right, cool.
I need these to play it.
Ooh, that shit worked. Couldn't throw out, I'm a rapper. What set you front? Like, nah.
I mean, having a talent does, you know, I guess it gets you out of a lot of situations, you know, because it's dudes that can play in the neighborhood, but it's also dudes that's funny. Mm-hmm. You know, just they sense of humor get them through. Yep. You know, I've been talking to a gang of my comedian homies and just their sense of humor get them out of situations. So, you know, hey, I wasn't above busting a rap every now and then, you know what I mean? Just to calm the situation down. Or, you know, I would hit the parties. Everybody be wanting to dance. I want to get on the mic. You know, I'm like, I want to rap. So it's just, I guess everybody had their niche.
What was yours, a rap, or was it acting?
What you mean?
Like, what's your niche? Because
it was music. It was rapping. I didn't ever even think about acting.
And
never.
But you're so natural. So I'm trying to figure out which one. Because, you know, when you think about actors and rappers, you know, it's like, no, Cube now is an actor that rap. Yeah. It's like, you know, instead of being a rapper that's acting, it's yeah. like, you know, it's like you were great at both of them. So it's like, which one is he better at?
I can't say. I mean, I love them both. And I put, you know, I put a lot of, you know, I guess, focus on whatever I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So if I'm doing movies, I won't do music. And if I'm doing music, okay. I won't do movies. I just, you know, stay laser focused. And so, you know, I think that's good that you can't really like pin it down on which one, you know, I do best, you know.
Like when someone said, like, yo, name your top five rapper / actors, it's always same three. You, Will Smith.
Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah, Queen. You're like, but you forget because the acting is so great and you're putting out so many movies, you actually forget about where they came from. Like, you, yeah. you know, like, you'll forget Will Smith was that started off in rap. Ice-T, you forget it because you're watching him so often. You know, I've watched so many movies. It's like, I can tell you every line in movies and forget the rap stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. You know, movies are a lot more visual. I think movies, you know, leave a more lasting impression, especially when you can equate it to a person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like a Will Smith or me or LL or somebody like that. I just think, you know, at the end of the day, we've shown that we're more than rappers. You know, we're just entertainers. And, you know, if you put us in a situation and give us time and space, mm-hmm. we can make it work and make it, not only make it work, but make it dope and try to make it unique and something different. You know, usually artists like us are held back by the ebb and flow of the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not moving at the pace we're moving at.
Like, yeah, it's just weird that, like, when you think about, like, groups that have, they're multi-talented. It seems like the rappers and entertainers, or the rappers, singers are more, they're more adaptable than everybody else. Like, you can't take a bunch of basketball players or sports players and say, all right, go do movies. We don't have that natural instinct. But you can take a rapper, put him in a movie, and he looks like he's been, you know, acting for years.
I just think it's a different mindset in a lot of ways. You know, with a rapper, to be good, you have to be able to observe the people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You have to actually be able to observe how the people move, act, what they think about, dream about, their frustrations and dreams, and present it in a song and kind of present it back to the people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In a bite-sized mm-hmm. way, so to speak. So you're more observant of people and how they act and move and you know, all that. Because to me, to be a good rapper, you have to be a good observer. Mm-hmm. So being a good observer can really, like, you know, make you a good actor too. You know what I'm saying? Because okay. you know how people act in these situations. Mm-hmm. You're watching people's temperament and the way they are mm-hmm. and what moves them and what makes them laugh, what makes them cry, what makes them mad. Because it's your job to get in the studio or when you start writing the rhyme is to do something that the people can relate to. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's when you plan, you have to hone in on your skills, fundamentals, and, you know, whatever you got to do to become a, you know, world-class athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what the rituals you got to do, but it's just a different mindset. So, you know, that's probably what gives, you know, musicians the edge. But even before rappers, you had Elvis, you know what I mean? You had Harry Belafonte, you yeah. had, you know, Nat King Cole, you had people who, Sammy Davis Jr., you know, people that, and Frank Sinatra, you know, people who show you, yo, you know, I sing, I dance, but I can act too, you know.
And it, like you said, it's all entertainment at the end of the day. And to come from music and get into film is understanding that I need to entertain an audience.
Yes.
And I think where it's evolved to for sports, where we're seeing, we saw MJ in Space Jam, LeBron's coming on the screen. Yeah, he was in Trainwreck. For an athlete, it's tough because you're so disciplined, right? You're used to being coached and taking direction, which is something that a director can work with now. So I think it's, but it's that door's opened a bit more.
I think it's harder for us because we're focused on our skill on a court, not, you know, we don't have to try to act for, you know, 20,000 people. We're just performing what we
You're used to a stage, though.
Yeah, we're used to the stage, but you can see most of them are scared of cameras. They don't, you know, like we don't, like what you think that we should be natural, we're not. We're not, you know, we're not natural interviewers. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see that these great athletes can play in front of 20,000, show their emotions. You put one single camera with one person in there, and they sitting there sweating like, oh, man. Because I remember when my dad, because my dad was an actor. He was acting like he was trying to be an actor. He was one of those, you know.
He was a star. He was an artist.
So he took me to my first commercial, which was a Sprite commercial. And I see the camera, and they're like, all right, do the line. And I'm just sitting like, nah. My dad was like, you playing at the park in front of all these. But I just run up and down, and they see what they look at. I don't know. They're looking right at me. You know, so
camera shy a little bit.
It took me years to realize to be cool with this thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's why. But if you see interviews and they're always looking around, it's like, dang, you just dropped 60 and had the whole crowd bouncing and you over there engaging. It's just a whole different type of
feel. Yeah, I mean, you know, as when you rapping or you know, singing or whatever, you have to stand and deliver a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's basically, here you go. Here's the mic. Yeah. Get down. And especially, you know, being artists coming up, we battled a lot. We used to go to the quad and, you know, I'm gonna rap against you. And so everybody's watching. So you're performing all the time. Mm-hmm. And then we started shooting videos and we start telling the directors what we like, what we don't like, getting you used to the camera, doing all these things. So by the time it's time to do a film, we've been around so many sets and cameras and, you know, it's just really about, you know, how serious the person take it. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to make you either respect the business and respect the art of it, or you're going to just kind of go do it just as a little side thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, long as you step into the arena and you respect, I guess, the lines of the game, mm-hmm. then you should be all right, you know, but it's people who kind of do it just kind of as a side thing. They're never going to benefit off of it. You know, just like somebody trying to play basketball, you can, you know, like bullshit in the backyard a little bit, but when it's time to really play organized, damn, you better be serious or you're just going to get embarrassed.
What got you into the concept of Big Three?
Well, when I think about it, you know, it goes back to our childhood in the backyard, battling, you know, calling your own fouls, you know what I'm saying? Liking that rough style of play that I grew up on. I looked at the game and I saw that the paint, you know, in basketball is not being utilized like I remembered it. Mm-hmm. And so, but that was, you know, I don't want to try to change basketball. I love the evolution of the game. But I wanted something that I grew up on, but I didn't see a professional version of it. Mm-hmm. And I had played in, the NBA had an entertainment league. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember we used to play at Crossroads. Yeah. And I played in that for a few years. And I just thought the concept was dope. Like, you just get together every Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave us real NBA uniforms and some NBA refs. And we pretended to be the Spurs and the Nuggets and the Lakers and the, you know what I mean? We were just celebrities that played. And once a week, so you had a chance to recover, get your body back right. Yeah. For the next week, and it wasn't easy to get a win out there because it was some dudes who, some dudes had, you know, D1 experience. Mm-hmm. They was, now they was, you know, on the soap opera. Yeah, this dude, yeah. Like, you know, so it was dudes who could really play and was taking it serious. So it was a fun league mm-hmm. to see what you still had or not. And they wouldn't invite the public, you know, only family and friends. And we went a couple of times. We went to different arenas. We did like, we played games in Phoenix and we played games in, you know, Golden State. And, you know, just for the audience, like after the real basketball game, mm-hmm. we would stay and play. And they would watch us. So it's like, man, this is a cool little concept. But it kind of went away. Make a long story short, I'm watching Kobe playing his last game. He scores like 60 points mm-hmm. and it's his last game. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm getting kind of pissed off because I'm like, I can't see this dude play basketball nowhere. I know he can still play. I know maybe not 82 games, maybe not all this, but I know he still can play. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame we can't see him. So that's when I start thinking, well, how would you want to see him? Maybe half court, 3-on-3, take out a lot of the wear and tear. Maybe, you know, not the back-to-back-to-backs, maybe once a week. And, you know, it started to, like, germinate from there. And so I just started to talk to my partner, Jeff Quantinance, and he was like, man, I've been thinking about 3-on-3 for a while. I'm like, let's take it out the parking lot and put it back in the arena. Mm-hmm. Let's ask, you know, former pros who still want to run and still want to play with their peers at a high level, let's create a league for them. And so that's how the concept started to roll. And we just argued it out, hammered it out, you know, arguing over rules and rule changes and, you know, why is FIBA so boring and how can we make our game faster and more interesting and funner to play for the players and how can we keep them involved? And we start thinking of player captains and co-captains and like a player runs his team and, you know, forget the GM stuff and, you know, and forget the owner concept. And so we just started to just brainstorm and come up with these great ideas of revenue sharing and just making it where if this thing go where we believe it can go, everybody's going to love this league. Everybody's going to benefit from it. Everybody's going to want to play it. And I was like, we're going to get to a point where even if guys don't want to play, mm-hmm. they wives is going to say, you better get your ass out there. Did you see how much they made last year just playing 3-on-3 basketball? So, you know, we got 10 games. You know, it's perfect. And that's kind of how it came together.
What was funny is, so when I grew up, I was at I had to do Jordan camp mm-hmm. all the time. So yeah. Every summer in Georgia. So me and Jordan became cool. So my son, you know, my son goes there. So I gave him all the gear that I never got to get signed.
Yeah.
All the gear he left in Washington, gave it to my son.
Yeah.
So get it signed. Tell him I'm your daddy. Right? So he goes and he pulls out the first thing. And Jordan's like, where'd you get this from? He's like, my dad. He's like, who's your dad? Gilbert. Arenas? He's like, yeah. Oh, I knew it. What else? He's like, what else he gave you to sign? Right? So he
cleaned out his locker.
So my son brought 10 items.
Yeah.
So I come there the last day, going to back, Jordan signing. He's like, oh, man, what's up, man? I seen your son, all the goddamn gifts, and you had me sign. You know, it's one item. I was like, you know me. He was like, you in the big three yet? I was like, nah. He said, man, you know what? That's a good concept. I said, why? He said, because there's always retired players that still wants to play.
Yeah.
That's going to be around for a while.
Wow.
Swear to God, it is. Swear to God. It's.
Wow.
It's gonna be, there's going to always be retired players that still wants to play.
It's so true. And guys who really didn't get to run like they, you know, or didn't leave the league how they wanted to, you know, on their own terms. You know, some guys don't even know they retired. You know what I mean? They just, you're not getting a call next year. And I know just as on the sympathy level, just as an artist, you know, I couldn't imagine somebody coming to me at 33, 34. Like, yep. That rapping and that acting you doing, we don't need you. Yeah. You out. And so I just felt like, why not? Why not have a league where you out when you say you out? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When you done, you can be like, yo, you know, I've exhausted my professional basketball career to the 10th power. I can't do it no more. And I think you can lead a game, you know, satisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing last year, you know, Katino Mobley and seeing Corey Maggette and them guys, Quentin Richardson, like get rings and win the champion. This is their first one. And, you know, at professional sports at that level. And so they, you know, to me, that kind of stuff, seeing Kenyon Martin cry the first year, that kind of stuff is like, man, you know, I'll break my back to make sure this league is around forever.
And it's more than just half-court, 3-on-3 basketball, right? Like, it's their legacy. Yeah, these guys feel they have something left in the tank. You're going to let them empty the tank.
Yep. It's what we all grew up playing. It's, you know, we all grew up playing this game. That's why the youngsters love the big three, because most of them are not going to go to school and play 5-on-5. Most of them going to go to school and play 3-on-3 because mm-hmm. – you ain't about to take this whole court. You know what I mean? It's like, so they see, oh man, this is done at the professional level. And, you know, you see Mahmoud Abdul Rauf out there at 50.
We love to see him, yeah.
Still wet, still with fans that's going crazy that miss him. That's like, where you been? And, you know, so. This is a great concept. I'm glad you told me that about Jordan, because I'm gonna take that story to my grave. But when I thought of it, I had a meeting with Kobe on something else, and I was like, "Yo, Kobe, I'm thinking about professional half court 3-on-3 basketball," and he just kind of looked at me and was like, "Yeah, yeah." And so I'm like, "Would you play?" He said, "No." I said, "All right. I'm going to ask you every time I see you because you might get the itch."
Well, speaking of players that have the itch, I mean, we have this guy here who's in the gym still getting shots up.
Oh, my God.
And we just got to say, Cube's here right now.
You know, so funny. Every year it comes, I always say the same thing. You know what? I'm going to train for it. And then when it comes around, when it comes around, I'm going to be prepared for them and bust they ass. All right.
Well.
Look what you can bust their ass.
Look what came around.
Nice. Fresh
game ball.
We're gonna give you some gear to keep it
on
your mind.
The man came prepared.
When you're ready to bust their ass, because I know you could do it. The fans would love it.
So now I'm training again. I started in January. I started training again. Now it's just me because I'm a perfectionist. If I bust their ass on the league, I don't want to not bust their ass in this league. That's the problem. If I'm not going and I'm not fully 100 to get these dudes that, like, I seen Iverson, right?
No, yeah,
now,
we don't
now,
want that.
If I was in the league when AI came, I would have loved it. The first time I get to really outdo this dude right here, shit, I would have been in heaven. Because the last time, I think he put like 50 on me. So,
we love AI. We love him. I mean, I wish he could have played at this level, but he realized that. You know, he realized, like, yeah, they going. It's full speed and it's hard.
I think the first year I think a lot of people watch the first year and try to figure out the speed of it. Mm-hmm. And when I watch it, I'm like, ooh, okay, they really going. Like, they really playing basketball.
Yes.
So I don't think I'm prepared and trained for that sport right there. You mm-hmm. know, so it's one of those things where when you think about it, these are professional still. So
yes.
No matter if you trained or not, it's a forced. You're forced to go hard because he's gonna go hard.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where I really need to train like I'm playing in the NBA again.
Yeah.
And it's like, I gotta train like I'm playing in the NBA because I'm not gonna let them get the best of me. That's just how that is.
I mean,
so I got 4.5 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta make your decision before that, but You definitely would have.
I just like, you know what? I'm just going to say yes now.
Oh, there it is.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
All I wanted
that's all I'm going to say yes now. Yeah. I'm going ahead and join.
Oh, man, that's a beautiful thing.
I want, and just listen, I want the Wizards. I want all my Wizards teammates that didn't shoot the ball. All right, that's what I want. I want Eton, Brendan Haywood. I want Deshaun Stevenson, Kwame Brown. You know, they already know my style.
So QB wants to run the team.
That's funny.
Make that clear.
Eddie, join where you at. We know the place.
That's cool.
And I'm going to train. I'm going to train. I got 4 months to really get my shit together because I'm coming hard.
I mean, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It. You know, we go hard. The game is a 50, and we looking for somebody whoever going to – I think we looking for a player that's going to score 50.
Yeah. I'm a damn sure try.
I think we found one that's
going to damn sure go try. Hey, I got to let them know now. Don't bring your girl to the game. You're going to be mad at her after.
Uh-oh. That's what I want to hear.
I'm saying, if I give you 45 and you got to go home.
You got to go back. Thing.
You know, that's how we were in the NBA. It's like, yo, I don't think you're going to have a good night tonight because I'm on fire.
That's right. I'm on fire. I mean, that's what it's all about. And what's cool in our league, you can tell them that.
You know without that $5,000
tech. You ain't getting no tech for being yourself. And we need, you know, the league needs personality. We need, like I said, we need star power, man. And you got it, you know, to the 10th power. And so it's just, to me, you know, getting you in our league just makes us take another step in the right direction, man, for being here for a long, long time.
All right, I'm here, man.
Let's do it.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't want Arenas on the back. I want Agent.
You can have whatever you want.
I want Agent in the back. Someone told me bring back Agent Zero since I didn't leave the league with it.
For sure.
I left with 10. I don't know
That's
why.
That's right.
I don't know why. I just give me 10. Fuck
but it. Since then, other guys have worn Zero. So he spawned more Agent Zeros.
Huh?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
People were scared to wear Zero.
Oh, they were?
Before you.
Yeah, they were.
Now we got Jason Tatum, Westbrook.
Because in college.
Kuzma.
In college, the year I came in, they released 0 and 1. So before 2019, a lot of people didn't wear 1 or 0. So that was like the two new numbers that came in. And then Steve Kerr's 25 was retired, which I wore in high school. So I said, shit, nobody.
You know what's the trip? When I played at the YMCA, Eaglewood. I wore 0.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because my name was O'Shea. So I was like, I need 0. But you know, it was a number where I was like, everybody was like, man, that's not a number. I'm like, 0 is a number. It's number 0.
QB, you're known as a lifetime Laker fan.
Yes.
All LA sports, basically, right?
Pretty much.
So you've been Forum to Staples. What was the first game you ever went to?
I went to a game and it was 1979. It was the year that the Supersonics won the championship. Well, it was 1980. I guess they was coming back the next year. Mm-hmm. And my brother was like, man, you got to see Gus Johnson and Dennis Johnson. You got to go see. So he was actually taking me to go see the Supersonics because they was the champs. And, you know, at the time we had Kareem. It was right before we got Magic. So it must have been that season in between but it was just amazing just the smell and just how vivid it was. And then from there I would sneak in because my friend next door, his brother would work at the little turnstile right in the front. So we just walk around the Forum till we saw whichever door he was working at taking the tickets. And he would just go, come on, come on, come on. And we just walk in. Walk in without giving him a ticket. But then we would have to find a place to sit. So we'd end up just walking the whole time, just looking for anybody that hadn't been sitting in their seats. And we just duck in, check it out. So I saw a lot of games like that. But, you know, I would love going to the Forum, man. It was just a feeling. It's just a feeling that you can't describe when you first walk in there.
And then all those years go by, and then Staples Center and, you know, the Shaq Kobe era was into Gil's time, and, you know, you saw some great performances firsthand.
Oh, man.
So maybe not the Lakers, but who are some guys you saw visiting teams that put on a show there?
Besides this man?
Or this man.
Yeah. This man will come in and kill it.
What's so funny is I was a Kobe fan. I wasn't, like, when I grew up, I was player fan. So I grew up off of Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
So I was a Laker fan because hometown, mm-hmm. but I was a Penny fan.
Yeah.
Wasn't a Magic fan. You know what I mean? So everything I wore was just basically Penny Hardaway. It wasn't fuck the rest of the team. You know what I mean? So it was weird because when I was in high school, Kobe came. Yeah. I was a Kobe fan, didn't like the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, put the nigga in. I want to see what the young boy can do. Yeah. Now I got the little fro. He got the fro, you know. So I'm just trying to mimic him. And I came into the league. If you look at the pictures, I came into the league and Kobe still had the little fro. Well, my hair didn't really go the same way his was, so I had to perm it.
Yeah.
I had to perm it and then crinkle it up. To make and then it. We was in Miami and shit fell out. shit fell out. Woke up, had half of it was just gone. I was like, I gotta get a real cut.
You know what's funny? They always, the Garden players, we just saw James Harden put on a show there, and players love to play in the Garden. I feel like in L.A., guys, especially if you're from the West Coast, to play at Staples – in that era, I mean, there's no better place to put on a show.
Then it wasn't, you know, the garden has the magic, not the team. Mm-hmm. So when you went to the Garden, you know, you went to perform against history.
Yeah.
L.A., it was players like, okay, we got Shaq. And, yeah, I remember, you know, for the most part, they were dynasties then. You know, so it's like, oh, we're going against Shaq and Kobe. So to get off, you know, you really had to be on. You didn't really have to be on in New York. It's whoever the fuck is guarding you at that point. You know, but L.A., you know, you had to go against Shaq or Kobe. Before Kobe, Eddie Jones. So, you know, you didn't really have time to really enjoy performing in L.A. because you always went against great players. Mm. You know, so it was a little that's different. Interesting. And that's why when you think about it, like, Wilt Chamberlain 60, I'm 60, there's no other. Mm. Because they had great teams. I just went against a team that was really just outmatched for me personally. Mm-hmm. You know, Kobe was a two. I was a point. So, you know, I had to go against Smush Parker. By the time Kobe got on me, I'm already on fire.
Yeah.
I'm faster than
on
you.
Fire.
You know, I'm already on fire. I'm on faster than you. So you're actually playing at my element now. You know, if you were a big man, you wasn't going to get off on Shaq. If you was a real two, you wasn't going to get off on Kobe. You know, those are the two positions that's gonna score 40, 50, 60. You know, them two guys was basically locking that shit up in Los Angeles. You go to New York, who the fuck is over there? You know, let me go ahead and bop whoever this is.
I mean,
50.
Jordan, those teams that Jordan went against with you.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan. I mean, but that's. I mean, I'm just talking about my little era. You know, when you talk about New York versus L.A., it was like, oh, it's easier to score against. You know, it's easier to have fun in the Garden than it was to have fun against the Lakers.
But when you come to L.A. and you see Jack Nicholson, Cube, Halle Berry, whoever's in the crowd, what does that change for you? Like, oh, it's a different kind of show you got to put on.
When I first, my very first game was going to and playing was the Lakers. So, you know, when I was with Golden State, we went to Maui. And it went to Maui, and then you talking about they just won the championship. So when I'm sitting there, you know, doing warm, you got Lisa Leslie, you got all these superstars, you got Shaq, Kobe. It was just like this is, you know. So I'm more memorized. Like I don't like fuck the game. I just want to just sit here now, and I'm sitting here like literally just. These some good seats, y'all. Like, you know, I remember I went out, did a pick and roll. Robert Horry jumped out. I was so freaked out that I lost the ball, fell on my ass. Everybody laughing. He go down and dunk it. And then he came to me. Hey, welcome to the NBA. Hey, this is a little different. I wasn't expecting all the stars here. You know, so coming into L.A., by the time I got to who I was, they done changed the lighting. They made it more like the boxing arena where they try to, you know, black out the whole side and just make the, you know, because when L.A. played, everyone's just sitting there like, oh, yeah. Like, because I remember when I scored 60, this is real shit. I tried to, when we scored 60, was it Tisha Arnold for Martin?
Yeah.
She, you know how they have those, I don't know if they're, I don't know what kind of seats they call them, but it's like right next to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out there getting the ball on, right? And I was like, oh, shit. That's my girl right there. I'm going to try to get a hug and a kiss because I scored 60. No, that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Damn.
Shot your shot.
I was too scared to shoot my shot. And it's just one of those things. But
after it was you score 60, you got it. Yeah.
It was running through my mind. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
And I think the Lakers, better than any team in the NBA, they understand, thanks to Dr. Buss, the value of entertainment, right? And how to put on a show. And I think that's something that's probably worked into you with what you're doing with the Big Three.
Yeah, I mean, you know, without the whole presentation, you know, it could just end up being a game. You know, it's like you got to give people, to me, what they came for. And it starts with letting the players be themselves and not restricting them on, you know, how they express themselves on the court. It's part of what people want to see. You know, people want to hear the trash talking. They want to hear that you care. They want to see that you care. You know, one of the most, you know, interesting things that happened was during our championship game, a little scuffle there, you know, a little bit, which, of course, we don't want that. We don't want to fight. We do want people to care. And they showed the audience, yo, we're not just out here playing just to play. It's not an all-star game. This is, you know, real competition. You add that with as much, you know, fanfare you can. What's cool about the Big Three, you have so much history. There's so much history there between, you know, you look to your side, you got, you know, Dr. J and Clyde Drexler and you know, Gary Payton, and the history of the game is there. And all you have to really do is add to it, you know, add the excitement of you know, we stuffed that thing. Because in our mind, the Big Three is a mini all-star game. Because we're going from city to city. There's no home teams. And we're putting on the show. And so we want to create that vibe. You know, our, you know, a long game is to, you know, not only have it on the court, but to have it spill out into the parking lot, to have it down the street, to have, you know, tournaments here. We got the Young Three for the kids. To play 3-on-3 basketball. So we want to, like, blow this thing out because we understand that without the entertainment, it is just a game. You might as well just go watch guys play, you know, in a gym, you know, and that ain't what it's about. It's about turning it in and showing the and celebrating these great athletes and what they still got to give to basketball. Because one thing that's different between our league and other leagues is our guys' basketball IQ is through the roof. So you're going to see the best basketball you can see played as far as this, the skill level. You know, they might have lost a step, but sometimes your brain will be that step you lost. And so – you know, you got guys that know how to play, are playing at the highest level with great basketball IQ. So you can't have nothing but good games out of that.
And like you said, Gil, the characters. The characters are welcome.
Of course. You know, we want that. We want you to be yourself. That's the whole key. You know, NBA has their standards and rules. But we're dealing with grown men. We're not dealing with 23-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. Dealing with grown men who got, some of them got 23-year-old kids.
So.
We don't need to babysit anybody. Everybody, you know, is mature enough to handle basketball at this level. And you know, we're a new league, but we have 80 games under our belt because we played 4 games a night. Now we're going to play 3 games a night, but when you count them all up, it's about 80 Big Three NBA games.
And heading into season.
I say, oh, yeah, Big Three, Big Three basketball games.
And heading into season 3 now, you've added 3 new teams.
Four.
Four.
Yes.
Four. So the league's expanding.
Mm-hmm.
opening up some opportunities there too. And then new cities are going to come out, so people can stay tuned to the schedule being released soon. And
yes.
So now we're ahead. We have the Combine coming up.
The Combine is, we believe April 11th or 12th is our, you know, but we're not sure because it depends on some of the other things that have to fall in place, but somewhere April.
All right. And then as far as team construction, so we can tell Gilbert how this works, we have 2 to 3 co-captains?
Well, there's a player captain who runs the team, and then he can handpick 2 co-captains, and the other 3 players are picked out of the draft. And we have like a lottery where you figure out where you're going to pick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of rigged a little bit. I hope, you know, I just get to the league and get the number one pick. You know, I get it. Okay, KG, come on up.
I mean, you can recruit.
Yeah, he's been good for you already.
Recruit a couple of guys.
What's so funny is I've been recruited by every guy.
That's funny. Everybody's recruiting.
If you do come to the league, man, you got to be on my team. Rashad Lewis is the very, well, Kenyon Martin was the very first.
Yeah.
Keen Martin.
He's the first guy we signed.
No, he was the, yo, I want you to be my captain.
Yeah. That's, I love Kenyon.
So I'm over here trying to figure out how we, like, okay, look, what if you get another big man and then I'll pretend to be hurt in the draft so nobody pick me, then you get me.
That ain't gonna happen.
We good.
That ain't gonna happen.
They moved on without me.
And also coaches, 2 more coaches to be announced, right?
Yeah, we got a couple more coaches to be in. You know, we have a list of people. We're just kind of waiting till beginning of March because a lot of guys are still, you know, holding out to see if they're going to make it into the league again. But then we'll start, you know, really locking down who's where and how these teams are going to stack up.
Okay. Oh, I can get Nick. When does a player like him who's still on that verge, when is the season over with?
I think March 1st.
You're talking about the NBA season.
No, when is the big 3?
Oh, when is it over or start?
Over.
Late August, early September.
Before training camp.
So yeah. Borderline NBA players can play in the league.
Yes.
Huh.
You can.
And then the age has changed for, it's what, 27 now?
Yeah, 27.
Oh, they're bringing in the young boys now.
Before it was 30. Yeah. But,
they're bringing in them ankle breakers now.
And growing the league and expanding. And, you know, we want the basketball to be as sharp as possible. And there's a lot of guys that's on the cusp. That's going to try to make it back on the NBA roster. They can really use the big 3 to showcase, you know, what they got.
Mm-hmm.
And so beyond that idea of preserving their legacy and letting us see those older players that are retired play once more, these young guys that are still working on a shot to get back in the league and they might have played elsewhere, and this is another great platform for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you do your thing. And you never know what opportunities, you know, we've had a few guys get opportunities to you know, go to a training camp or, you know, try to make an NBA roster. One of our guys got a 10-day contract last year. So, you know, the opportunities are there. Mm-hmm. You just got to, you know, be seen in some cases and have some run. And so the big 3 is a great opportunity for guys to be seen and not go overseas. And, you know, still do their thing.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
There he is.
Yeah.
Ready.
I'm ready. Now I got to go ahead and lift iron again like I'm about to go to prison. You know, I got Reggie Evans and them out there. You know, I got to get your little prison body back.
Definitely be ready for
that's what I said. I got to get the little prison body back.
Because if we know one thing, the older guys, they know contact.
Well, you know, what's
That's why league. I love being at the free throw line. I know what
I mean. Our league, you know, we started off, you know, that first year was pretty rough. And we added a 3rd ref, which cleaned up a lot of the stuff that guys were getting away with that the refs couldn't see. And it actually, you know, cleaned up the game and made it flow a lot better. So, you know, we're not promoting, you know, crazy physical play. you know, we promote good basketball, and we want them dudes to call the fouls. We don't want you to be ticky-tacking the paint, mm-hmm. but we are protecting our drivers, guys that's driving into the paint. We are protecting them a little more than guys that's just planted in the paint. Yeah. So we're doing things to make sure the game still flow, because we know we don't want guys, you know, playing bully ball or nothing like that.
Gil, the stage is set.
Huh? It is.
From the man who gets entertainment,
I hope
and the guy that listen, wants to put listen, on a show.
They got 4 months to try to come up with a defense to guard me, okay? That's how I'm sticking at.
That's a beautiful thing.
I don't know what they're going to do, you know, once I get my speed back. It's over.
It's over.
Season 3.
Agent Zero's coming.
This summer.
Coming hard, too.
Man.
Like, I'm really going to be training. That's the sad part. I'm training like I'm about to sign a $100 million contract. So get y'all shit together for real.
Get it together.
For real, ain't no, don't be out of shape, overweight, coming with me, all right?
No, nah.
Stay tuned.
Ain't no now.
All right, I need all my Wizard rebounders and Michael Ruffigans and Calvin Booths. I need y'all, all right? Because I ain't trying to pass the ball.
Cube, you have a GM, a coach, a captain, a recruiter right here.
Yeah, I see.
And an entertainer.
I see. I mean, perfect leader.
All right.
All right.
Let's do this.
There it is.